It's time now for Heartfilled Holidays on TogiNet.com. Are you longing for more joy in your life? Looking for meaning in your celebrations? Wondering what happened to the fun, or even looking for new ideas and interesting gifts? Well, Sandy Fowler and her guests are here to show you how to have fun and create happiness for any occasion with stress-relieving techniques. Sandy will help us take a look at what we can do to turn the upcoming holidays into cherished memories. She inspires to make powerful choices and take simple steps to creating better celebrations and a happier life. Discover the secrets to creating happy holidays and happy everydays. This is Heartfilled Holidays on TogiNet.com. And now here's your Heartfilled host, Sandy Fowler.
Welcome to Heartfilled Holidays, where families create happiness. Well, it's our June 1st, 2015 show. Can't believe we're in June already, but we are thinking summer and talking gardening, which I have to admit, you know, gardening is one of those activities I tend to think of as belonging to that group of people, you know, those people that we call gardeners, people who are really good at growing things, who love being out there and digging in the dirt and all of that. But what I have found, what I believed and then researched and found even more of, is that really gardening can bring huge benefits to all of us. So we're going to look at one angle of gardening on today's show and another one next week. Along with gardening today, we're going to talk about diets, but not for you, for your house. And then we are chatting with Dr. Charlotte Resnick about kids and stress. It is incredible how stress levels, we know stress levels are climbing for adults, but how they're also climbing for children and teens. It is hugely on the rise. And as parents, there are things that we can do, not just to lessen our kids' stress, but rather to teach them skills that will let them handle their stress. It's a little like that old adage of, you know, you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, teach him to fish, feed him forever. Well, in this case, as a parent, there are things you may be able to do to reduce your child's stress or make it go away right now. But if you give them tools like what Dr. Resnick is going to talk to us about today, they'll be able to handle stress throughout their life on their own. And then we're going to wrap up in Christmas Corner, where we are continuing our new series on Christmas wreaths. And today we have two different ways to make ribbon wreaths and another idea for a handmade gift for graduation season. So thanks to our sponsor, RedShip.com, the college care package experts who create packages that are easy for parents to buy and ship and packages that college students love to get. You will find social media links, posts for each show, podcasts of past shows, links to our sponsors, all at radio.heartfilledholidays.com. Well, I was, like I said, looking at gardening ideas, thinking about this, because I wanted to share some inspiration, some tips with you. And in the process of doing that, I've actually gained a new appreciation for this humble activity. It turns out that gardening can be about more than just making your home look pretty or getting some veggies on the table. Gardening can actually provide relaxation and improve your health. It can educate your children and bring your family closer together. It can even clear your mind and bring you joy. Now, not everyone has the space or the inclination to create an enormous vegetable garden or a yard overflowing with flowers. I totally get that. Perhaps you live in the city and you just have a balcony, or you live in a condo and you can't go and turn up the grass and start planting things in the yard. That's okay, because everyone can create a garden. The first thing you need to do is toss out your preconceived notions of what a garden is and who a gardener is. At its roots, a garden is simply dirt with plants in it. That can be indoors or outdoors. It can be large or small. The plants can be planted in the ground or they can be in containers. It does not matter. It's still your garden. So first, what I'd like you to do is to decide the purpose of your garden. What do you want to do with this? Do you want to teach your child? You know, this can easily be a science lesson or life lesson. Do you simply want to spend time together doing something fun that will strengthen your bonds with your child? Or is this something on your chore list that just needs to be done? You're like, gotta have something out here. You know, yes, it looks pretty, so let's just get this done. Well, if your answer to those questions was tour list, that's fine. But I would recommend shifting your perspective a little bit and looking at it as a fun family activity. If your focus is simply on reaching the end, you're going to miss out on a lot of fun along the way. And you're more likely to get upset with your child if they upend the bag of dirt or break a pot or do any of those hundreds of things that kids will find to do that do not move you toward that final goal of getting the plants in the dirt. So just shift the perspective a little bit, and that can make it a much more enjoyable activity while still checking it off your to-do list. If you see this as a learning opportunity, then you might want to include your child in the planning stages, not just the planting stages. By planning out the garden, they get the opportunity to discover so much. They will see the endless options and opportunities out there, learn how to sift and sort and narrow down options, how to take into account types of soil, space limitations, various amounts of sunlight, as well as how to work within time or budget constraints. And they won't even realize that they're learning all this, because you're not going to sit there and go, well, we're going to look at the budget constraints and we're going to look at our soil erosion. You're just going to talk them through what you're doing together, and they will learn along the way naturally. If this is neither a chore nor a lesson, but simply an opportunity to spend some time together, then that's great. Be sure to block out plenty of time, more than you think you need, and be prepared to do this in multiple blocks of time as well. Little kids will get bored, their attention will wander, and you don't want to find yourself cajoling and pushing them to finish. So when they seem to be done, either let them go and finish it yourself, or quit together and plan to continue another time. You know, just tell them, say, hey, you know what? This is supposed to be fun, and I think we're both kind of done right now. How about if we work on it again this evening or tomorrow or next weekend? And, you know, make them part of that decision, because they might just say, oh, no, Mom, I want to keep going, or they might just need a five-minute break. By talking to them a little bit, again, you're respecting them and bringing them into the process with you. Also, before you start that little project there, be sure they're in grubby clothes, so when they start making mud pies or they turn the hose full blast into the dirt and the dirt sprays everywhere, you can simply laugh. And you can just see the humor and the fun in that and not be worried about people ruining clothes. So on that note, probably make sure you're in grubby clothes too. If you are doing this job with teenagers, your tweens, you still have to worry about their attention span. I know that they have a longer attention span, but it's probably not as long as yours. And they also may have a bit of an attitude. So the simplest place to start is to talk to them about this project ahead of time and ask when a good time is to do it. Planning around their schedule means that you won't be tearing them away from some other activity or some other event they'd rather be at, and it also draws them into the process. They are making choices to place themselves there, and that's buy-in, and that's always a good thing. And if all of this sounds like fun, but you think you're too far into the growing season to do this, that's okay. Do it anyway. You can buy more mature plants, and that way you won't be behind. Or you can talk to the folks at your local nursery and get their advice. They know the plants, they know about your geographic area, they know when things will flower, they know when things will produce, and they can make some recommendations for you at the specific time you're at. You can always do something. I mean, for goodness sake, nurseries have plants available up through August. So even if you just say that, hey, you know, this idea came to me, or I heard about this and I thought it'd be fun to try, and I know it's really late, but let's get a couple of plants and a couple of pots and do that this year. And then plan on starting earlier next year. So there you go. Gardening that teaches your kids lessons and lets you spend time with them over a common project, which helps you bond now, creates a memory, which Mark Hundley explained to us during his interview, that it's those shared memories that also create bonds in families. They're the things that you think about and talk about later. I was at the library recently and saw a book titled, Is Your House Overweight? Recipes for Low-Fat Rooms. And I thought it was a hoot. I laughed, and then I was pondering this title, and I realized that actually it is spot on. If you think about it, a house needs stuff in it, right? I mean, you have to have stuff, but too much stuff means the house doesn't feel right or it doesn't function properly. And that's a lot like us. When we're overweight, we don't feel right. Things are harder to do. Our clothes don't fit properly. We don't look as nice as we think we could. And our health can suffer. Well, all that stuff we collect does the same thing to our homes. Our homes fill up with toys, clothes, papers, all kinds of paraphernalia. And it becomes difficult to do things. You know, you walk in the kitchen and before you can start making dinner, you have to clear all the computers and the paper and the other stuff off the kitchen counter. And that can make you frustrated, or it can just take up time and things. Before you can sit down on the sofa, you have to move toys and blankets. Before you can pay your bills, you have to sort through a mountain of paper to find the bills. And the house doesn't look as nice because the clutter is hiding all of our efforts at decorating and all of our attempts to make a beautiful home. So having too much stuff, having clutter, having excess stuff in the house means that it's not functioning properly. Like I said, before you can do things, you always have to do something else first. It doesn't look as nice as it could. And it can even start affecting the health of your home and even of your family. I mean, think about it. The more stuff that we have, the harder it is to clean our houses, the harder it is to maintain our homes. So you start having more yuck collecting in your house. You get more dirt and germs and dust, and especially if you have people with allergies. Oh my goodness, that's crazy. And when there's so much stuff that it's hard to get to the structure, the framework of the house to do preventive maintenance and to make small repairs, or you can't find the tools to make the small repair, all of a sudden it becomes a bigger repair. Not healthy for the house. So here's the thing. I'm going to present a small challenge for you, and here's the challenge. Take an objective look at your home and determine if it needs to lose weight. Then set a goal for yourself. You can choose one room, you can select a certain number of items that you want to get rid of, or one type of belonging that you're going to deal with, such as paper, which we talked about on the May 18th show this year. And then decide how you will reduce the amount of stuff and set the date where you're going to do it or the date where you're going to start and then complete it. And I'm going to take the challenge with you. I'm going to go look around my house and decide. First, I was going to pick something, but I don't want to pick it off the top of my head. I want to actually think it through and make an informed, thoughtful decision. And I may pull the family in on this one. So I'm going to take the challenge. I will keep you updated on what is happening in the Fowler house for the overweight house challenge. And if you want to keep me updated on what's going on in yours, radio.heartfilledholidays.com, email, social media links, all there. So let me know what you are up to and what's happening with that. Okay, we're going to pop out, quick commercial break, and then we are going to have our interview with Dr. Charlotte Resnick. We're going to talk about kids and stress and find out what tools we can give them and how we can help them to move past that. So stay tuned.
Are you longing for more joy in your life? Looking for meaning in your celebrations? Wondering what happened to the fun, or even looking for new ideas and interesting gifts? Stick around and find out how. This is Heartfilled Holidays with Sandy Fowler on TogiNet.com. And we'll be back right after these.
Hey, moms of college students. Do you wish you had a better way to support and connect with your child while they're away from home? Check out RedShip.com. RedShip offers college care packages full of snacks and other items that are chosen by college students for college students. Order once, and your student will be taken care of during the most stressful times of the school year. RedShip's giant red cylinder will be delivered to give them the morale booster they need. Include a personalized note with your own words of encouragement. Just because they're away from home doesn't mean they don't need your care and support. Check out RedShip.com. That's RedShip.com.
Do you know a military spouse whose life is constantly turned upside down by change and stress? Or maybe it is you who is looking for strategies to help calm chaos, deal with drama, and respond to change more effectively. Military spouse, motivational speaker, and military lifestyle blogger Judy Davis understands what it's like when military life becomes overwhelming, and she also knows there is something you can do to turn things around. In her revolutionary book, Right Side Up, she shares tips, tools, and inspiration to help you do just that. This practical and motivating personal guide helps you find everything you need to design a workable plan for creating a life you love based off your needs, your personality, and your insights. Visit thedirectiondiva.com. That's thedirectiondiva.com to order your copy today.
Welcome back to Heartfilled Holidays, showing you that the fun, stress-free, joyous day you've always dreamed of is within your reach, and Sandy Fowler is here to help you make it yours. So let's get back to the show. This is Heartfilled Holidays on TogiNet.com. And now, here again is your host, Sandy Fowler.
Welcome back to Heartfilled Holidays, where families create happiness. As I promised at the beginning of the show, we have one of our favorite guests with us today, Dr. Charlotte Resnick, PhD. Dr. Resnick is an internationally recognized child education psychologist and associate clinical professor of psychology at UCLA, and a compelling speaker as well as a media personality who inspires parents and professionals, educators, and psychologists throughout the world using her original therapeutic approach to helping both children and adolescents to heal themselves. She is the author of the book, The Power of Your Child's Imagination: How to Transform Stress and Anxiety into Joy and Success. Dr. Resnick has been a guest in many, many different venues, including places like NPR, NBC News, and Lifetime, as well as Heartfelt Holidays Radio. She has been quoted and featured in a wide variety of print and online publications, including USA Today, The Charlotte Observer, Nick Jr., MSNBC.com, DrCoopVillage.com, iVillage, Forbes.com. We could go on forever, but that just kind of gives you a flavor for where you can find her online. She also maintains a very lively website, imageryforkids.com, which features a monthly blog, articles she has written, as well as resources for parents and professionals who work with children and teens. So Dr. Resnick, that's a busy, busy schedule that you run. I just want to thank you for taking some time and joining us here on Heartfelt Holidays to discuss your work today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be with you, Sandy. And what you do is so great for everyone. What a service you provide, all this information that gets out there. So I'm just delighted to be with you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's very kind of you to say. And I am really looking forward to delving into this. We chatted once before, but it has been several years, and so many new people have found the show. So I am excited to look again at your work and expand into some different topics that we didn't get a chance to talk about last time.
Yes. So, and one thing that's changed is, you know, I kind of retired from my UCLA position. So I guess we'd say I'm a former associate clinical professor there. Give them
okay.
a little break.
Okay. Well, in your work with children and with teens, you focus on the power of their imagination. Why did you choose imagination for the focus of your work?
Oh, gosh, it probably goes back, frankly, to my childhood. It's like when you think about where you are today, when anyone thinks about, like, think about how you got there. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I think I used my imagination as a kid to help me through my challenging childhood. And then I wound up in college where I was very interested in psychology and art, and then in graduate school where I, you know, kept pursuing this. And I wanted to reach many children, so I started working with kids in the inner city schools in Los Angeles. And oh my gosh, I was not, after my fancy USC education, I was not prepared for what I found there. The kids were very depressed, and it was a low economic level, but there was a lot of violence in the home. It was sort of like walking into a war zone. I think I would just sit and just collect myself before I went there each day. And I realized that all the behavioral techniques I had learned at SC just weren't going to cut it in that situation. And frankly, they almost needed like mass healing. So I just kind of stumbled along using imagery and imagination from being at a conference, and I was very impressed with the results of a study from another school district, and I felt I could go into the classes, and if I could help the kids find their own inner light, in their own peace inside, that would be one small step for them to cope with their lives and to maybe be okay. And kind of my theme mantra through all these years is to help kids be okay no matter what's going on around them. And they responded, and they found it was very interesting because I was in the inner city for over 15 years, although I transitioned in the last five into a more of a private practice. So I see now a very different population, you know, middle class, upper middle class, you know, parents are very educated or somewhat educated. But I find that whatever work I started in the inner city really transferred to all the kids I see. And I've traveled and done workshops around the world, and it translates all over because we're all human, we all have hearts, we all have feelings. And my goal was to help the kids find those that light inside, their inner resources, to help them solve their own problems, to help them find peace. And interesting enough, way back then, you know, we just talked about imagination. And the truth is, I was really also teaching them how to center themselves and meditate. And now, in the last few years, mindfulness is very popular, and everyone is very comfortable with that in America, I think, basically because the word mind is in mindfulness. Mindfulness is really a form of meditation. And sometimes people even get scared about the word meditation, but all it is getting centered and breathing and connecting with yourself. And that is a wonderful thing to be able to do with everything that's going on around in our world. So it was kind of a process. It wasn't like, okay, this is what did it. But everything, my work has evolved over the years, trying to meet the needs of the kids I'm serving. And I really do feel that my work is a service because it's to help kids find their own answers. And even the littlest ones, with using their imagination, could find it. I'm thinking of a four-year-old who was having trouble at preschool, and I was teaching him about where his feelings are in his body. And when he kind of spoke to his tummy, he said that his stomach told him to share at school. And, you know, that might seem like no big deal, but, you know, his mom might tell him that, his dad, his teacher, but the truth is when it came from inside him, mm-hmm. he really incorporated it. It was part of him, and it was a beautiful thing to see.
Well, we're all like that. When it's our idea, or if we think it's our idea, and rarely is, you know, they say there are really very few new ideas in the world. It's rehashing what's out there, or, you know, you come up with something that you didn't even realize someone else said. Husbands and wives complain about this all the time. It's like, you know, I'll go in and go, oh, I had this great revelation. And my husband will look at me and is like, I told you that years ago. But once, you know, we're willing to accept it, once it seems to fit into our thought processes, our experiences, we get excited about it and we feel like it's ours and we can do something with it. So that makes absolute sense to me.
From the littlest ones to teenagers. You know, especially teenagers, they always want to be, well, everyone wants to be in control, so I don't want to pin it on them. But I'll tell teenagers, look, I don't have your answers. I'm going to help you find your answers. They're inside you. And they really appreciate that because it's not another adult telling them what they're going to do. And I guess I like the idea of my work with imagination because it's fun. You know, we want to make it fun for kids. If it's too much work, nobody wants to do it. I just the other day, a new parent was in talking to me about her daughter. And it seems like the last therapist she had went to, he gave her such homework. It was like too much to do. It wasn't fun. So
especially with kids.
Play.
Especially with kids. None of us want a whole bunch more work piled on us, but
right.
You know.
So you
said that you discovered in your inner city work that, you know, the behavioral techniques you learned in school weren't going to work there. So what you do with using imagination, these are not behavioral techniques. This is something different.
Well, I could make a case for it being behavioral technique or CBT because there is behavioral change, but it's done in a different way. So what happens is I'm thinking of a little girl who had trouble. Oh, gosh, she had trouble sleeping, and she was afraid of going to sleep, and she was crying. She was like 11 years old, and she was giving her parents a hard time, and she was really suffering. And so behavioral technique might be, okay, take a bath at night, change your thought process when your fears come up, switch it to something else. Well, sometimes that's hard to do because fears are coming from the emotions. They're not coming from, you know what you're supposed to do. You just can't do it. So what we did was we played around, and she imagined, I said, well, what would happen if an animal friend could come and help you? Who would show up to help you with the sleep? So she imagined this white giant dragon she called Valcor and wrapping around her bed, protecting her. And she put a tiger at the door to further, just for extra help. And that somehow empowered her, and she was able to close her eyes and go to sleep or close her eyes and listen to one of my CDs. But that made a big difference in her life. And it's not a typical behavioral technique, like it's not cognitive, like do this, do this, do this. It's coming from more of her imagination, more of her intuitive part. I didn't tell her, use this. I suggested something, and she came up with it. And
it's her imagination that could be causing the sleep issue in the first place.
Exactly.
She obviously didn't feel secure if what she did was wrap a dragon around her bed and put a tiger at the door. The child was not feeling secure enough to go to sleep.
She was not. And I often will say to kids, they'll know that their fears are coming from their imagination. So I often will say, all right, let's use your imagination to help you instead of hurting you. And a few months later, when she was fine, one of her friends made fun of her and said, oh, that's stupid. It's just your imagination. How could that help? And she said, my fears come from my imagination, so I had to go into that realm to fix it. So she was very aware of that. And that really was so, so powerful for her. And so I want kids to tap into those resources. And I guess that's where the quote meditation comes in, because I have these foundation tools, and one of the foundations is a certain way of breathing, and it's basically a basic meditation kind of way. You're just breathing a few inches below your belly button, so that belly goes out when you breathe in, and when you relax it flattens when you breathe out. And I call it the balloon breath, but it's really a basic meditation breath. And I just easier for people to hear sometimes.
Well, meditation's a scary word. We're going to have to pop out for break. When we come back, we'll continue with that thought. But you mentioned meditation at the beginning, and I don't mean it's scary as in, oh my gosh, something's going to harm me. It's kind of intimidating, I think. Many of us have tried it and gone, I just can't sit still. I can't empty my mind. There are all these negative connotations around it, and sometimes expectations, depending on how someone was introduced to it. There's sometimes this expectation that you're going to reach nirvana. You're going to sit down and in 20 minutes, life's just going to be wonderful. And that's really not entirely how that works.
So we're going to pop out for
a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Charlotte Resnick. So stay tuned.
Are you longing for more joy in your life? Looking for meaning in your celebrations? Wondering what happened to the fun? Or even looking for new ideas and interesting gifts? Stick around and find out how. This is Heartfilled Holidays with Sandy Fowler on TogiNet.com. And we'll be back right after these.
As a mom, I worry. The teen years can be challenging, and I wonder if my kids are okay. And if their friends are okay. The kids are changing. Our relationship is changing. I know they need to grow up, but is all of this normal? How can I tell the difference between typical teen behavior and the warning signs of something more?
Parenting teens has never been easy, and the challenges of today's world make it much harder. Teens are facing more stress, and depression rates are rising. Parents need help understanding which behavior is normal, which behavior indicates their child needs guidance, and what to do if things have escalated to the point of depression, addiction, or suicidal thoughts. Living Through Crisis provides just that in their new parenting guide, Warning Signs. Find hope. Get the guide at livingthroughcrisis.com.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita. For more on the show and your host, check out our website, labellavitacosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central, on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Heartfilled Holidays. Showing you that the fun, stress-free, joyous day you've always dreamed of is within your reach. And Sandy Fowler is here to help you make it yours. So let's get back to the show. This is Heartfilled Holidays on toginet.com. And now, here again is your host, Sandy Fowler.
Welcome back to Heartfilled Holidays, where families create happiness. We are chatting today with Dr. Charlotte Resnick. Dr. Resnick runs the website imageryforkids.com, where she shares her expertise with all of us. And today, Dr. Resnick, we were chatting before break, mentioned this idea of, you know, people get intimidated by meditation. But when you start in your work, you broke it down, like you said, you will take a balloon breath. As you said,
exactly.
That's a basic meditation technique. And deep breathing is something that we hear that we can do anytime, anywhere to relieve stress. You don't have to sit down and have your yoga pants on and your yoga mat and spend a half an hour or 40 minutes or an hour in full meditation to get the benefit from taking a balloon breath.
Yes, no. In fact, I start with three breaths. I'll have the kids do three breaths with their eyes open, three breaths with their eyes closed, ask them the difference. They'll often tell me with their eyes closed, they feel more relaxed. And then I'll maybe time them how few breaths could they take in a minute, 7 to 10, great. So we might make a deal, okay, would you be willing to, you know, take a minute out of your day? Because everyone's so busy, you know, kids, parents alike. So most people, I would say 99.9%, will say they could take a minute. So that's what how I get them into it. And
well,
the word
and
mindfulness
sometimes that
now,
is all so, you have. Even when you have a routine where you've built in some time for whatever your relaxation is, exercise, meditation, whatever, times come where you're like, I can't even fit that in. And so,
right.
But being able to step back and go, but I can take a minute here, and I can take a minute there, and I can take a minute here. You can do that several times a day.
Exactly, and that's all you need. You just want to recenter your thoughts, your body, because it's very, very healthy for you. It helps you lower your blood pressure. It does relax you more. It reduces your pain, helps you think clearly. All this has been researched, so it's worth it, and that's how I get them in, and it's just wonderful. So that's a way in, and the word mindfulness is just the idea of being aware. So when you're breathing, you know, you're aware of your thoughts. You don't do anything about them. You just go back to your breath. You're aware of how you're feeling, if there's any pain or any discomfort. You're aware. You just become aware. And when we're more aware in the moment, it actually helps us throughout the day. So it's like, it's very easy. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but if someone's talking, you might be thinking, oh, what am I going to say back? You know, or you're doing one activity and you're thinking about the next. The idea is, if you're present right now, it's more pleasurable and more joyful. And that's why we're here. We want to make our lives happier and healthier and help our kids do that, too. So
and
it's
racing
really no big
is
deal.
Not good. I've talked about that before on the show, where when I'm in the kitchen just trying to throw dinner together to get something on the table, and thinking, like you said, I'm thinking to the next thing, going, okay, as soon as I get this done, I can go do that. As opposed to the days where I go, great, you know, I have a half an hour or I have 15 minutes or I have an hour or whatever it is to work on dinner. And my focus is doing that. Then I'm relaxing and enjoying it. I have to do it either way.
Right.
So I might as well go, oh, great, this is my time for dinner prep and just be there because I'm not a gourmet cook. I don't get huge satisfaction out of cooking, but it's not like it's a misery either if I'm going, okay, this is just some relaxing time and I can chit-chat with my family as the kids are doing homework or whatever else is going on. So
exactly.
The mindfulness is important. But what I'm kind of wondering about, all right, so we're getting a little bit of an idea of some of the things you might do with kids in your office. We as parents, what kinds of things can we do to help our kids? And I don't know, maybe do we need to pick a particular situation? Because, you know, like you talked about having trouble falling asleep for a young girl, she obviously was afraid of things. So maybe we have an older child who's having trouble falling asleep. What could we as a parent do to start helping them walk through that?
I think as a parent, you really want to listen to your kids and don't have to fix everything for them, even though we want to. It's very healing just to listen. And a lot of parents tell me their kids will talk to them right before bed and just dump something really big and awful on them. But it helps the child, you know, relieve their upsetness, and that seems to be a good time to do it. So no wonder everyone's having trouble sleeping. But if you just listen and validate what they're saying and just kind of repeat back in the kids' words or your words, so that they know you understand what they're going through. And, you know, as a parent, we're like a coach, a life coach. So we can't fix everything, but the whole idea is that our kids have the answers inside. We want to guide them to how to do that. Whether it's, because I see kids from lots of different issues, you know, anxiety, fears, anger, divorce in the family, death, grief, illness, themselves or family member. It all, for me, comes down to, okay, this is what's happening. How can I solve the issues that are, or the challenges that are in front of me as a child? So that's where, you know, I have the foundation of the breathing to help you go inside. Find a comfortable, special place within your own imagination that makes you feel safe and good. It could be a beach, it could be Disneyland, it could be your bed, but the idea is that it's like a working environment for you to go into finding your own answers. And then you want to connect with your inner guidance. And that inner guidance, depending on the age of, you know, a little child, a teenager, an adult, it could be their animal friends, it could be wizards, it could be wise people, it could be the older, wiser you, who's already gone through that. And the idea is you then ask that creature or person, how can I help myself? And they will come up with ideas. They're coming from your intuitive side, from your unconscious that you might not have thought about when you're in that, you know, upset or just very waking state. So that it's almost like some people do it when they're, it's like a waking dream. You want to connect with that wisdom that's there, because consciously we're only, I don't know, conscious of about 10% of what's going on. So we want to tap into the more of that, what, for want of a better word, the unconscious, where you have your creative juices, where the songs come from, where the beautiful works of art come from and paintings. It comes from that space. And that's what we're teaching our kids to tap into. And ourselves, too. It's great. I do trainings for parents and adults and put them through everything I do with the kids. So you have that experience. And even if reading in the book, one of the parents that was reading was saying, oh, my gosh, I wish I had this when I was a kid, and I'm going to try this for myself. And the idea is that the answers really are inside. When you're centered, you will come up with things, and you'll be so – just be surprised. In fact, I'll say to the kids, oh, be surprised at what you come up with.
And I imagine as parents, we'll be surprised at what they come up
with.
I'm listening to you, but part of me just keeps going back to this. What I heard you tell us, Dr. Resnick, was as parents, number one, stop fixing the kids' stuff for them.
When they
tell us about something, don't tell them, well, just do this or try this and this.
Sometimes you might need to help, but not all the time. And not that shouldn't be your first go-to. The first is listening and validating so the kids know you really get it and you understand what they're experiencing.
Yeah,
and
so
then the other aspect is connecting to your own body wisdom. There's so much wisdom in the body. You know, when you feel something's off, pay attention to that. I grew up in New York, so if I walk down the street and I feel uncomfortable, I just leave. I don't wait to see, you know, what bad stuff is down there. I trust my instincts. So that's what I'm trying to teach kids and parents as well, is to develop their own intuition and get stronger and trust that. We have like a belly brain. We have cells in our belly that are like T cells in our brain. We have a heart brain. People have had heart transplants. You probably heard this as anecdotal evidence that when you get a new organ like that, you might start liking something the donor liked, or liking some food or activity that you hadn't before. There's some cellular transfer, so there's some like little heart brain there too. And I'm just helping families and kids connect to all that wisdom that's in their whole body. Where do you keep your anger? Where do you keep your sadness? Where do you keep your positive feelings, your joy? And let's work with them within the body to help with whatever is going on. The wisdom is there.
Interesting. I find it fascinating that there isn't just a lot of the things that we typically hear about. Like you said, I think they're more traditional behavioral techniques. It's all of this, do this, do this, do this. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about feels more comfortable to me. It feels less like work than the other advice that we typically get.
Yeah, it's more from the inside out rather than someone imposing. Like sometimes when I say to kids, you have the answers, they go, no, I don't. I go, well, you know, we'll find them. But I don't have the answer for you. You know yourself better. We're going to help you understand yourself better. And so they prefer that. Because nobody, like we said earlier, likes people telling them what to do. But I just have little, and you as a, you know, as a parent, as you learn these tools, have the guidance for the kids.
Yeah, well, and again, what I really love is that with your techniques, we're teaching our kids how to solve their own problems and to not need us to help them do that in the future. My children are actually, well, technically both adults now. I have one in high school, one in college. And as you go through that transition of them leaving home and being far away and being on their own and experiencing all these things for the first time and watching them go through the growing pains that they're going to experience as they step out into adulthood, knowing that they have something like this in their tool belt is a huge, huge comfort to a parent. Just going, okay, they don't know the answer to everything, but they know how to find it. And in this case, where they find it is inside themselves. And that resource is always there.
And sometimes they might hear your voice, the voice of their mom giving them advice, but it's coming from inside. And so it's really becoming part of them. And your whole
job. Well, and it's something they believe in too, or else they wouldn't be thinking it or hearing it.
Yes. Yes. So you're spending all these years trying to help them grow into healthy, happy adults, and you have to let them go. From the time they cut the cord, that's your job, is to let them go more and more. But you want them to have that solid foundation inside, that they have the good values of your family and the skills that you've been teaching them. But there are things you can't help with when you're not around, and there are new things coming. Our world is so different and changing so much. So if they have it inside them, they know, wait a second, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I know I've solved problems before. Let me check inside. Let me calm down. First of all, when we get upset and we're panicking, the part of our brain that like lights up is called the amygdala. That's like the fear, flight, or fight. And when that's lit up, the whole frontal lobe where we think clearly and logically shuts down. So when you're upset, you cannot think. So the way to be able to think again is to calm down the amygdala, and that breathing, the meditation, the balloon breath, the mindfulness, whatever, relaxation, deep breathing, whatever we want to call it, that could calm it down so that you could start thinking again.
Okay, so that's part of, you know, if you hear people talking about anxiety attacks and things like that, doing the deep breathing works in that situation to start calming that part of your brain. Unfortunately, we aren't going to be able to go into more detail about this. This has been an amazing discussion. I wish that I had known about this back when my youngest was a preschooler and she refused to sleep unless I was awake and staring at her, because what we found out like 12 years later, she was afraid that the witch under her bed was going to reach out with scissors and cut her hands off.
Whoa.
Yeah, and you know, and we just didn't get to the bottom of that one apparently, because we spent months just being in total sleep deprivation. So had we had your advice at that point in time, we all could have gotten a lot more sleep and life would have been better. But, you know, from preschoolers through high school and college, and as you said, even for us as adults, this is great advice for anyone who wants to find out more. Where can they find you online, Dr. Resnick?
Oh, imageryforkids.com, and that's F-O-R. And they could sign up for a free newsletter. They'll get parenting tips. They'll get lots of ideas. They'll see where I'm speaking, where I'm training. I'm happy to speak anywhere in the world. Going to Denmark in the fall, was in Zurich last year. You know, just go all over. So America's easy.
Okay. That's great. And as
happy
always, we have a link to Dr. Resnick's book right on the radio page at radio.heartfilledholidays.com when you
awesome.
Get the
and then
blog
all
post
the CDs,
for today's show.
Sandy, we want to give them tools too. If they're too shy to make up their own or to read them, they could just hear my soothing hypnotic type voice with music.
There we go. Well, thank you very much for joining us today. I appreciate it. We are going to hop out for our last commercial break, and when we come back, we will head on over to Christmas Corner. So stay tuned.
Are you longing for more joy in your life? Looking for meaning in your celebrations? Wondering what happened to the fun? Or even looking for new ideas and interesting gifts? Stick around and find out how. This is Heartfilled Holidays with Sandy Fowler on TogiNet.com. And we'll be back right after these.
Looking for a way to give back to our troops? Wish there was an easy way to do something meaningful that makes a real difference to the military community? Now there is. When you give a gift through the Buy One to Give program, you are not only showing your support, but giving our troops and their families a gift they can use all year long. With your support, we can reach our goal of providing every military family with tools and information they need to navigate the challenges and stress of military life. Show you care at givetoourtroops.com. That's givetoourtroops.com.
Girlfriend It is on TogiNet. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, with your hosts Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. This show is your chance to share, learn, laugh, and connect with other women. The Girlfriend It principle was born out of loss.
Lisa had recently had her mother pass away from cancer, and my mom was murdered. A man just walking into a room and started a 23-second shooting spree.
I think one of the things we both realized going through those tragedies that you can be extremely okay and be extremely sad.
Check out GirlfriendIt.com and then be a part of Girlfriend It, the radio show. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central.
You know, your boyfriend or your husband or whatever, they don't totally understand that emotional side to a woman like another woman does. And I think that's so important, just to have somebody that you go, she gets me.
Check out the website, girlfriendit.com. Don't miss Girlfriend It with Patty Wyatt and Lisa Jernigan. Thursdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Heartfilled Holidays, showing you that the fun, stress-free, joyous day you've always dreamed of is within your reach, and Sandy Fowler is here to help you make it yours. So let's get back to the show. This is Heartfilled Holidays on TogiNet.com. And now, here again is your host, Sandy Fowler.
Welcome back to Heartfilled Holidays, where families create happiness, and welcome to Christmas Corner, where we are continuing our series on DIY Christmas wreaths. We started on May 11th, 2015, where we talked about using frames to make unique wreaths, and then we even tossed in some ideas for making fun and colorful paper mache ornaments to use in decorating those frames. Then on May 18th, we moved on to a fun and flexible option, the grapevine wreath. We took a break last week for Memorial Day, and now we are back and we are talking about ribbon wreaths. And this is a fun DIY project that can easily be customized for any color scheme simply by choosing ribbons that go with your scheme, complementary or coordinating colors, and all different kinds of textures and sizes and everything else. So You can use different colors on your wreath, or you can choose one color scheme but select ribbon with different designs in those colors, and even different widths and different textures if you want. I've seen a couple different ways to make ribbon wreaths. We're going to talk about two today. The first is very common, and that is to take a foam wreath and attach loops of ribbon to it. For this one, you're just using simple ribbon, not wired ribbon. So, I mean, you could use wired ribbon. I haven't actually seen one with that. It could be very interesting. But typically, it's just the plain ribbon, gross grain or simple satin ribbon, that type of thing. And speaking of gross grain and satin and some of those different textures, when making this kind of wreath, variety is a good thing. Choosing ribbon in different patterns, different widths, different textures, it just adds more interest and more dimension to your project. So, variety, a definitely good choice for this wreath. Now, you're using a foam wreath as your base, and typically foam wreaths come in white or green. If you're using a green ribbon, then you might want to buy a green wreath. It helps to disguise the spots in the wreath where the foam could actually be peeking through the ribbon. Alternately, you can spray paint your wreath to match your design color, or cover it in tulle, which is quick and easy and cheap. It comes in big long rolls, and so you just glue or pin the end of the tulle to the back of the wreath, and then start winding it around and around and around until the whole thing's covered. And what's cool about doing that is when you get to the end, you can knot it off, and then leave a length and go back maybe 3 to 6 inches and knot off another piece, and now you have a loop for hanging your wreath. So that's kind of cool. Once your wreath is ready, cut 4.5 inch long ribbon segments, and you're going to need lots of them. Take one segment and curl it into a loop. You do the same way as you would when you're making a long paper chain. But instead of tape, you're going to be using straight pins. So you're going to poke a straight pin through the loop from the inside to the outside of the loop. Then secure the loop to the wreath simply by poking the pin into the styrofoam. And you're going to want to start this with your widest ribbon. Take your loops of the wide ribbon and just randomly place them all around the wreath. The front, the top, the sides, everything but the back. And once you have those all over the wreath, then select your next widest ribbon. And repeat the process as you work down through your ribbons by width until the wreath is just full and bursting with loops. Now, I mentioned using pins. Some people use pins, some use hot glue. I have found that when you poke pins into styrofoam, it works fine, but the pins can wiggle loose over the years. Like when we've made Christmas ornaments and we use them year after year after year and they're stored in between, they can start to come loose. So if this is a project that you plan to store and use year after year, I would recommend using both glue and straight pins. If it's a one-year wonder, then pins alone typically work fine, which is, of course, neater and faster to do, too. So also, quick note, when you're using the wide ribbons, when you're securing those, you may need 2 pins. So just kind of check your ribbon and see how secure it feels. You might want to put 2 pins in the wide ones, especially if you're not using glue. Okay, so that was the first ribbon wreath. The second way of making a ribbon wreath is to use a 12-inch metal wreath and about 72 feet of wired ribbon, and you want the 1.5-inch wide wired ribbon. Cut your ribbon into 2-foot lengths, and in this case, you're not going to make a loop. What you're going to do is you're going to take that segment of ribbon, run it underneath your wire, so the wire is sitting just about in the middle, and you're going to actually tie your ribbon into a bow so that the ring is running through the center. So run the ribbon underneath, tie your half knot. It is now attached to the wire frame, and then just finish up your bow. And repeat this, running around it with all of your segments, and then add a loop to hang the wreath. I thought this was really cute. I like these ideas. I was thinking about making one of them for one of my girls. I thought that it would be a really cute decoration, something that would be easy to for them to hang up in the dorm room. And then when they come home at Christmas, I can hang it up in the house and enjoy it too. So they have a little Christmas decoration in their room, and then we get to enjoy it at home. I don't know, generous or sneaky? You have to decide which one I'm being there. But the other thought that came to me was, with so many high school graduation parties on our calendar, I have graduation on the brain, and I'm thinking that these wreaths could be a really cute graduation gift. Do, you know, for a high school graduate, make the wreath up in their college colors, and it would be a fun thing to send them off to school with. So there you have it. Two great ways to make a ribbon wreath. I did find a video that I really liked with a tutorial for the ribbon loop wreath. And I think it's nice to see what someone is doing with that one. It's kind of a more visual type of thing. So I have included the link to that video on the post for today's show, June 1st, 2015 show. Just go to the blog post for today on radio.heartfilledholidays.com. Underneath resources, you'll see a link to that video. It's like a 4-minute video, and I think it gives a great demonstration. So you have that there. And one more tip for Christmas Corner, a reminder that we're in the summer season. It is vacation time, travel time, and I've said this before, but I'm going to keep reminding you, that's a perfect time to pick up some Christmas gifts for people. Souvenirs, things that you think they would enjoy from wherever it is you're traveling, a great way to do some of your Christmas shopping. And if you're sitting there going, Sandy, I do not want to haul this around in my luggage, I do not want to be schlepping Christmas gifts all over creation, box them up, send them home. Don't want to deal with shipping it twice? Drive them crazy. Box it up really well. Wrap the gift in Christmas paper. Get it boxed up and ship it straight to the recipient. And just put a note on it, do not open until December 25th. And let it sit at their house until Christmas. Which, you know, for some people that could actually be a lot of fun. They can spend several months trying to figure out what is in the box. But bottom line, take advantage of this time. Take some family photos while you're traveling. They can be great to put on Christmas cards, into family newsletters, or they can also make great gifts for family members who would want updated family photos. You can get a great frame or make a great frame, and voila, another gift. All right, next week I'm interviewing Vicki Oliver. Vicki is the author of Live Like a Millionaire Without Having to Be One. And she's going to be sharing tips and tricks that she learned while she lived and attended school with the wealthy, but didn't have their same income. So she's going to give us some ideas and some tips and some insights. It should be a fun interview. You can hear it here on radio.heartfilledholidays.com at noon Eastern time, and catch the podcast for all of our old shows on the same page. Until Monday, have happy holidays and happy everydays.
Thank you for being a part of Heartfilled Holidays with Sandy Fowler on TogiNet.com. Each week, join Sandy Fowler, a mom who has gone from stressed to blessed in her own holidays, as she shares ideas, thoughts, and insights for bringing more joy and meaning into your holidays and your life. Listen in as she chats with the experts, finding out the tips and tricks you can use in everything you do to plan and enjoy your big day. Each week, Sandy Fowler will show you how to put the fun and meaning back into those special days and ways to let it intertwine with everyday life. For more on the show, Sandy, and to receive Sandy's Holiday Happiness Booklet, go to HeartfilledHolidays.com. Then get set to join us next week. Heartfilled Holidays with Sandy Fowler, each Monday at noon, 11 a.m. Central, on TogiNet.com.